Hello everyone, this is Tales from the Paw Side, the ASMB podcast. Welcome or welcome back. January has officially ended, so let's not delay any longer with bringing you our episode 7, our newest episode of Tales from the Paw Side. In this episode, we will be talking about capacity for care, what it means in the animal welfare world, and how it affects us at the Animal Services Center of the Mesilla Valley, specifically. I will be having our executive director, Clint Thacker, come in and talk with me and talk about capacity for care and how it directly impacts the ASMB and how we are personally navigating it, and also to get his insight and his perspective on the topic just in general. And then, of course, we'll wrap up with our upcoming events that are going to be happening the month of February. If you're interested in learning what all factors into capacity for care, or if you'd like to just know what we have going on this coming month, stick around and listen into this episode. And of course, with me, I have our executive director, Clint Thacker. He's here to help talk about just the capacity for care and how it affects us at the ASCMB specifically.
Yeah, it's a big topic, one that we could talk about for a long time.
Yeah, definitely. And something I learned today, a few hours ago, is that it's actually a project that Dr. Haddon herself was working on for her master's degree. So that's pretty exciting. It's pretty important. And it's a new, I guess maybe newly, like an up-and-coming kind of field of discussion in animal welfare. I feel like it's been talked about a lot more frequently than maybe it has when I first started working here in animal welfare, like 5 years ago. So it's something that we're all trying to address, you know, and get the word out to the public, definitely.
Yeah, it's definitely been the last 10 years or so. It's been a big push to figure out what your capacity of care is, figure out how to handle that capacity of care, how to increase it, or how to decrease it.
So in general, and I know there's probably several different definitions that every human animal welfare organization might have its own slightly different definition. But in your opinion, what is capacity for care?
Well, the capacity for care is the number of animals that a shelter or a facility can care for in the way that they want to care for them. So they have to have some guidelines or some minimum qualifications, minimum standards set. And then off of that, you go and you kind of backtrack and say, okay, well, we, in order to do this, we have to have this many people on staff with this number of animals. And so you kind of back your way into it and figure it out. And that's what we did. That's what we had to do is when we figured out our capacity of care.
And something that maybe like a lot of people who don't work in animal welfare might not know, kind of like the nuances that comes to capacity for care. It's not, I guess, just how many like human beings can take care of X amount of animals. It's also if they have anything additional that they need, like sick dogs. There are, at least currently at the ASCMB, certain diseases that we are not able to treat right now that are they are treatable stuff like ringworm or parvo. We can't keep that here because not only are we short-staffed with kennels, we're also extremely short-staffed with the medical staff, and that kind of also falls into the capacity for care, like the manpower when it comes to reasonably and effectively care for, clean up, and treat even specific diseases.
Yeah, you're right on. I believe that you have to assess the situation, and your capacity of care is going to ebb and flow as well.
Yeah.
You can set a hard number and say, we want to stay at this number. However, if you have somebody quit their job or get terminated, then that's going to affect your quality or your capacity of care because you no longer have that person. It goes along just what you were saying. You have to factor everything in from sickness and animals to your capacity of animals that are coming in. Like in 2023, we had on average 29 animals a day come in.
Yeah.
So you've got to take that into consideration when you're figuring out a capacity. That means when you're full that 29 animals need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's continual.
The constant struggle with trying to maintain capacity for care here at the ASMB. It not only impacts like the animals, the number of animals we can house, but it also can add additional stress like to the staff in general, because we do want to at least keep as many adoptable animals as healthy adoptable animals as we possibly can, but we can't, you know, stuff our kennels full of dogs just because they're healthy and adoptable. That would definitely overload the employees, like the human beings that have to work with them. I know when I first started here at the ASMV about 5 years ago, I was in the kennels. It was before we had Dr. Haddon. We had three dogs to a single kennel, and that was definitely like a lot. It was like a lot more physically exhausting, a lot more mentally exhausting, and an overload of work like that can, you know, lead to like burnout. A lot of people calling off all the time, like the loss of like the drive of even wanting to be here working. It's a kind of like a vicious cycle. Not only does it affect the employees who get burned, stressed out, maybe quit, maybe just don't feel like they can't take it anymore. Also, of course, affects the animals that we are currently housing. It affects their quality of care, the amount of animals that can be cared for if people are, you know, always like either quitting or falling off. It's like a negative feedback loop is maybe what I'm thinking of. It just kind of snowballs. So it's something we need to address and kind of try and work with effectively to help not only the animals, but also the people that are a part of the team.
Yeah, when somebody quits, what we do is we have them fill out a questionnaire. And on that questionnaire, that's a lot of the questions was why are you leaving? You know, and they may say overwhelming or burnout, and we ask for more information. And so, and we read those. It goes to every single supervisor, and they review it, and we're able to see. So the thing is solutions. How do you go about fixing a problem that is bad no matter which way you look at it? Because we have staff that's getting burned out. So, okay, well, let's reduce our capacity of care so we don't have a lot of animals. Well, then we're euthanizing and the public gets upset. You know, why are you euthanizing so many animals? You just built a center that has so many animals you can put in there. And we're like, no, it's filled. You know,
right.
This old center, we never said that the new center was going to take place of it. So it's a continual, like you said, a give and take, and it's a hard one to balance.
Yeah, because I know, like, at least in the new building, if you ever wanted to, like, we encourage people to stop by, even for adoptions, or even just to, like, be around, you know, hang out, socialize with the dogs, meet them, and say hi. But you'll see, there's never a time in the new pods where there's just a single dog to a kennel. It's always filled to, in like, two dogs to a kennel, and that's the maximum that is that they were constructed for. Adding any more dogs to a single kennel would increase, I think, the stress on each animal in the specific kennel. You know, two dogs is enough. They get to have their own space if they want to. Adding a third or a fourth, they would start to get a little, you know, like cramped or crazy and stressed, and that bad behavior leads to, you know, dog stress can lead to dog fights, leads to a whole bad slew of behaviors that we want to mitigate by only having a dog with one buddy rather than multiple. Just even if it looks like we can fit more, it's not reasonable. It's not fair to the animals, to the dogs, to give them extra kennel mates.
Yeah. So some things that we've tried to do to help with our capacity to care. One of them is, we increased our adoption hours with the new center. That's why we designed it the way that we did, is that animals can be on the outside while we clean inside, and they can be on the inside when we clean outside. So our adoption hours are now, they went from 12 to 5 or 6, and now they're at, 12 to 5 to 4, and now they're at 9 in the morning until 5 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And that is huge. We have people come in for adoptions and to see animals at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we are now able to accommodate that. And I know you ran some numbers showing the number of animals that are coming from the old center and the new center, and things are looking good. We're excited about that extension that we have on those hours, and it really helps. Also, the regular adoption specials, pretty much every month we have something going on that allow sales, specials. I think just how we have the price range, the pricing scale done for adoptions. I mean, it's what, $150?
Yeah.
$150 And that's for an unsterilized animal that has just came here or just became available.
Yeah.
And then there's discounts to go with that. So then if the animal's been here longer than 3 months, then you get a discount. If the animal's already sterilized, you get a discount. And that is, and it goes discounts all the way down to like $50 sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it points people more to the animals that can go hold and save day and they can get out quicker. And what does that do? Opens up a kennel. So we don't have to care for the animal. We don't have to euthanize for the animal that it's gone. There's a kennel available. So adoptions is, and adoption specials is one thing that we really try to do differently. You work really hard on transfers. You do a fantastic job.
Yeah, and that is something that me and my coworker, so there's two rescue coordinators, you know, working, trying to network, make new rescue partnerships with new rescues nationwide and try to cultivate and keep working with the ones that we currently have. It is something that has been a lifesaver for like hundreds of animals, like every month. It helps. It helps with the adoptions as well, to increase our life-saving numbers. But of course, adoption and rescue, the live release is a major part, but sometimes it's a battle between our active live release and just the amount of animals that come in, the intakes themselves. So another part that we're trying to look at and trying to work with is managing the intake, the amount of animals that come in, because I know, like Clint said, on average 29, so that's multiple dozens of dogs and cats coming in as strays, owner surrenders. They're just coming into the facility. Can kind of hurt us when we happen to have like a low adoption day where only like 3 dogs and a cat got adopted, and then that's kind of a struggle to deal with on a daily basis. So we are trying to actively encourage different ways to divert the intakes. And I know our office staff, when it comes to trying to manage and divert some intakes that come in, especially when it comes to owner surrenders, our office assistants try to heavily encourage and push hometohome.org. We have a home-to-home profile, and that is a whole, it's a nice service that is being offered. We host the platform, so it's at no cost to the owner. You rehome the dog yourself, the dog or cat stays with you. You get to approve or deny any potential adopters, and everything is in your hands. It doesn't have to come into our custody, and then we have the control over the adoption. A lot of people prefer that. No matter what reason they're rehoming for, they want to make sure that their pet gets to a place where they feel comfortable with, and they get the option to do that with Home to Home. We also have surrender to foster as another option that our office assistants like to push, and we also like to advertise if you want me to owner surrender your animals, but you're willing to, we ask to foster them. So they're still in your home, and they are ASCMV animals. They're in our custody, but they're available for adoption, they're available for rescue, and they get to stay at home with you out of the shelter, so healthy, stress-free, and until they get to either get adopted or go to rescue. And that helps a lot to alleviate the population that we have in-house. That was something that we are really glad that we have implemented.
Yeah, and the next two are some of my favorites, too. There's the first one is Stray Foster. This is when somebody finds an animal, and they bring it into the ASCMV, and we ask, can you hold on to that animal, try to find the owner? And they say, yes, we can do that. So you get to, man, take the animal for a walk, you get to go knock on doors, you do anything you can to try and find that animal owner. And that's a good one, because everybody feels successful at that time, right? The other one is fostering in general. We have a foster coordinator, Vanessa. She's been on this before. She does fantastic work. We're really pushing fostering right now, because that is such a lifesaver. All you do is you just sign up via our website. You can sign up to either a time to talk to Vanessa, or you can sign up, literally fill out all the paperwork, and it gets sent to Vanessa. And you can take an injured animal, you can take a healthy animal, you can take a sick animal, take a dog, a cat, guinea pig, anything we have here, because anything that you take is going to save that animal's life and another life. Because we have to be making room, again, for that, on average, 20 animals coming in. So we have to have 29 animals leaving as well. Those are great, too.
Yeah.
Those two options. The last one is Petco Love Lost. So Petco is the store you know of. Petco Love is the charitable arm of Petco. And then Petco Love Lost is a platform that they have made. I believe it was also called Finding Rover, I think. And they purchased it and revamped it. Anyways, it's big because if we can get everybody to be using it, like in the state of New Mexico, then it is, so you go on there, you fill out your lost animal information, and somebody fills out, well, I found this dog, they found, and they'll cross and they'll find each other with the information, the area that it's in, all of that is all cross-referenced, and then that animal never has to come to the center. That's the part that we love.
Definitely. It's great when there are avenues for the community themselves to kind of help out, yeah. You know, get animals back into the homes where they belong and find new homes without having to have, like, stop at the shelter, have them be intaked and in housed inside, kind of cut out that middle part and just kind of get straight to the source and, you know, participate in finding homes and reuniting families, like, their own way. And I'm sure that helps, you know, the community feel a lot more involved and able to be engaged, which, you know, helps everyone feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, thank you so much for stopping by and chatting again.
Yeah, no problem.
I love having you on here to talk and stuff. It's really nice. I appreciate it.
I enjoy being here.
Awesome. Thank you. And of course, now it's time for Henry's Corner, where we get to talk about all of our upcoming events that are going to be going on in the month of February. Of course, we have adoption events every Saturday of every month. So we'll start off, of course, for the month of February. On February 3rd, this coming Saturday, we're going to have an adoption event at the Village Hardware that is located in Hatch, New Mexico. So we're going to go out to Hatch, and hopefully some Hatch residents will stop by, meet some of our awesome adoptable dogs, and hopefully take them home. We will be there at the Village Hardware from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then the following Saturday, February 10th, we will be at Petco. We'll be there from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll have some adoptable dogs ready for you guys to meet. And since you're already there at Petco, you can get them, you know, fitted with their new gear, new collar, leashes, and maybe a toy to take home too as well. We definitely encourage you all to stop by the Petco on February 10th. The following Saturday after that, February 17th, we will be at PetSmart from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., of course, with some awesome adoptable dogs ready to meet, you know, their potential future family member. We encourage you all to stop on by. And finally, for the final Saturday of February, February 24th, we will be at the Tractor Supply, and we will be there from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we encourage you all, if you're in the market for a new dog, come on by at any one of these off-site adoption events. You get to see our awesome adoptable dogs. They're ready to go home, already spayed or neutered, microchipped, vaccinated, just ready to, you know, head on out, get loaded up into your car, and go on to their new life. You get to see them in action. Our volunteers there walk them, handle them. You get to hang out with them, socialize with them, kind of see them, kind of enjoy life, hanging out in a new area. Something that I would love to talk about with you all now is that in the month of February, we will also be having our next drive-through vaccination clinic. We will be having it on Sunday, the February 25th, so that is the last Sunday of the month. We will, of course, our vaccination clinics start at 9 a.m. They end at 2 p.m., but we encourage you all, you know, come on by anytime. You know, we get a huge line at the beginning. The line usually starts forming around 7:38. Sometimes we even have people coming in at 7 a.m. when we're still setting everything up. So come on by whenever you can. Usually there is no line by 12 p.m., 1 p.m., especially at 2 p.m., so don't be discouraged by the long line at the very beginning. The line does not always stay there. Come on by anytime, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. We will have our first 200 microchips implanted, are going to be free to the pet owner, and that is a courtesy thanks to a sponsorship by the McEwen Foundation. We are extremely grateful for their sponsorship of 200 microchips. That means 200 microchips, 200 pets get to be microchipped at no cost to the owner. And of course, we will also have the distemper parvo vaccines for the dogs and the feline distemper for the cats. Those vaccines will be sponsored by Petco Love, of course, at no cost to the adopter. And we will also be offering rabies vaccines, kennel cough vaccines, and then after after the 200 microchips, microchips will be offered, and all of this will be at $10 each. So it's still low cost, still much cheaper than, you know, making an appointment at a vet clinic, getting it done there. We do everything at cost. So it's as affordable as possible for you guys. We just want to make it accessible to get all their pets, all the pet owners in the Las Cruces and Doñana County area vaccinated, microchipped, and as healthy, as safe as possible. So I definitely encourage you all to come by and mark your calendars for Sunday, February 25th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. That'll be our next upcoming drive-through clinic. And we don't have that many questions that was sent to us. We do have one that I did find a little bit funny, and it's an anonymous question asking why does the shelter stink, I guess, which is a little bit funny. And I know that that's shelters in general, you know, we house multiple hundreds of dogs. You know, it's two dogs to a kennel, dozens of dogs that you get to see over at our new pods. Definitely, they're animals, you know, they poop all day, they're smelly, you know, it kind of comes with the territory of being an animal shelter, you know, housing a large number of dogs and cats at any single time. You know, if you think your one pet smells bad from time to time, different points throughout the day, you can't imagine that scaled up to 100 or a couple hundred. It's something that we deal with. We, as employees, are accustomed to it, but it is something that, you know, potential adopters or people that haven't been in an animal shelter before might be a little bit startled by it, but it's just to remind you, you know, a bunch of animals live here, spend their time here, but something we all, you know, get used to. Of course, if you have any other questions that you would like for us to answer in our upcoming, the end of February episode 8, feel free to go to our website, ascmb.org, on our resources tab, conversations at the center. It'll take you to the link where you can submit your question via jot forms. If you're listening to this on Spotify, I believe there's also a spot to answer questions or to ask questions directly on Spotify itself, or you can also just, you know, email us ascmb@ascmb.org if you'd like to, if you happen to have something you want us to address in our next episode. But of course, thank you all for listening to episode 7, Capacity for Care, the episode of Tales from the Paw Side, and we hope to see you in the next one. Bye.